Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast that helps you sculpt your dreams into reality. For this episode, I'm going to be talking about 5 mental attributes to develop in order to boost your conscious manifesting power. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. If you are brand new to this podcast, first, I want to say thank you for checking it out. This podcast presents a psychotherapist and Zen Buddhist perspective on law of attraction, manifesting, self-development, spiritual development, peace of mind, meditation, all that good stuff, which hopefully helps you align more to your dreams and your life goals. So if that's something that interests you, you have come to the right place. Make sure you take some time also to check out the companion YouTube channel, also called Dreams Warp. You'll find close to 200 videos there on all kinds of topics, just like what I was mentioning. And also, I believe there's probably close to 200 or over 200 podcast episodes, so a lot to digest to help you along in your practice. All right. So, like I said in the intro, I wanted to share with you what I think are 5 very important mental attributes to kind of like look at this as a checklist. This is stuff that you should try to develop mentally speaking. And if you already have these in abundance in your mental sort of habits or way of interpreting things, then kudos to you. This is really, really good stuff. And I believe it's going to help you learning how to consciously manifest or create the life of your dreams, align with your goals, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I want to just be clear about something here before I even jump into these 5. We are all already very powerful manifestors. It's really a matter of whether we know it or not, because everything that has occurred in our life has occurred because of either our upbringing, our beliefs, things that we learned as children, things that we learned from loved ones, things that we have ourselves taught ourselves, kind of in the way that we look, the way that we shape our beliefs, the way that we think. So everything that exists in your life right now as it exists has been manifested. The question is, has it been manifested through you being conscious? Were you doing it consciously, or did it happen as a result of, you know, sort of like Eckhart Tolle says in his book, unconsciousness, bad mental habits, or I would venture to say also, as a result of the influence of other people's beliefs on you, right? And we're going to touch on this a little bit more deeply as I go through these 5 mental attributes, because all this stuff, of course, is related, is connected. So let's go ahead and jump into this list, okay? So the first attribute that is very important to have is what I like to call mental or cognitive flexibility. Now, what is cognitive? For those of you not in the mental health field, maybe not familiar with that word, cognitive or cognition is basically another word, a fancy word for thought, okay, thinking. So every time you have a thought, that's called a cognition. So when I say mental or cognitive flexibility, what that means is that we are able to change our perspective easily. We're flexible. We're able to see things from other perspectives. We're able to really envision, hold in our minds a goal or a dream that we have, and we're able to quickly kind of conjure up the feelings of what it would be like to have that goal come true. Almost like putting yourself in that position and being able to not just kind of, oh yeah, that would be nice, but really, really grab it tightly and be able to say, yes, I can feel myself there. I can see this happening. I can see this being real for me. And then at the same time, being able to kind of examine your own existing beliefs and be able to quickly let go of them. So if you can almost picture this in your mind, it's the ability to almost imagine yourself making a fist and grabbing something, grabbing a hold of something, and being able to squeeze very, very tightly, but then at the same time, also having the ability to let go very, very easily. So it's almost like a gripping and a letting go, a gripping and a letting go of mental concepts, beliefs, perspectives, and having that kind of flexibility to be able to do that, that is very, very good thing to develop. And, you know, some people just have a little bit more, I would say, natural ability for that, but we can all develop that. And one way that is very challenging, I'm not going to lie, it's very challenging to try to do it is, you know, try to see things, especially when you have a very difficult conversation or argument with someone, they have a very different perspective from you, to be able to put yourself in that other person's shoes and be able to kind of see things from their perspective. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it, but being able to really fully understand where they're coming from, that's a pretty good way to develop this kind of ability. And also, I think, you know, having a strong affirmation practice, having strong visualization practice, all that stuff can help. And one of the other five or four, because we've already done one, one of the other four is also going to help you a lot with this, but I don't want to give it away just yet. All right, so let's go to number two. So number one was mental cognitive flexibility. Number two is, generally, you have a disposition, mentally speaking, toward being more positive than negative. Now, that is not to say, let me be clear here, okay? That is not to say that we have to go around in denial of things that can happen around us to others or to ourselves that are unpleasant, okay? We need to, I'm not talking here about being like, you know, almost drunk on positivity. That's not my approach. I don't agree with that. So we have to have an allowance, okay? This goes back to the flexibility. We have to have an allowance to know how to deal with unpleasant things when they come up, how to protect ourselves, how to protect others, and acknowledge suffering if it exists and kind of charge it head on and heal it, okay? But, again, I go back to the word generally. Our general disposition, our kind of habitual way of looking at things is generally positive. So this is kind of like the old saying, you know, glass half full kind of perspective, is that generally when you look at situations, you try to look at them in the most positive light possible. Obviously, even in you know, studies with cognitive behavioral therapy, it's shown across the board that those people who tend to develop or foster that kind of mental attitude generally are more peaceful, suffer from less stress, suffer from less depression, suffer from less anxiety. So this is just a truth across the board. And I believe that these types of people, we're looking at this from the filter of, you know, law of attraction kind of thing, then you can see how a person like that is generally going to attract better circumstances, better outcomes to conversations, better kind of effects from the cause made by their ability to look at things more in a more positive light. Okay, so that would be attribute number two, is having a general habit of looking at things more positively. All right, now let's go into number three. Number three is very interesting, and I think it's something that you don't hear a lot of people talk about, but I put it together as having a strong awareness of and a strong sort of selective resistance to the influence of other people's thinking, other people's beliefs. So in reality transurfing, which you may have heard of, it's kind of like a, how do I put it in a nutshell? It's a different sort of approach. It overlaps a lot with law of attraction. If you want to learn more about reality transurfing, I have a few videos on it on my YouTube channel. I also have a few podcast episodes covering some reality transurfing concepts. You know, so you could check those out if you want to learn more about it. But it's basically a book written by a Russian author, you know, talking about how we choose our reality. Again, I don't want to digress too far into that, but they do have one concept which I really like, is the concept of the pendulum. And the pendulum basically means that again, it's kind of common sense, depending on our upbringing, the families into which we were born, the groups that we hang out in, our political affiliations, our religious beliefs, our cultural beliefs, we are shaped, our reality is shaped by the beliefs and the thoughts that we inherit, from these different aspects of our lives. So, you know, beliefs you learn as a kid, beliefs you learn from your, again, political affiliation, beliefs you learn from your religious upbringing, beliefs you learn from groups of people you hang out with, all of them have an effect. He calls it in his book on reality transfer surfing, the pendulum effect, because he says like a pendulum kind of like hypnotizes you. So he's saying that the pendulum, these group beliefs that we're born into and that we are constantly exposed to, they have an ability to influence our thinking, hypnotize our beliefs, so to speak. So having a strong awareness of and a strong selective resistance to pendulums or to the beliefs of others is a very important mental attribute, right? Because if we have a dream, let's say, of starting our own business, but you come from, maybe you're in a family that the people are believed, no, you know, business is, you know, that's very stressful, you know, you should just stick to your job, you already have a good job, why would you do that? Or you have a dream of maybe pursuing something, you know, as an artist, but your family's telling you, no, it's a terrible idea. you need to be practical. And, you know, I'm all for practical. Okay. I'm not saying you should just, you know, leap out and, you know, give up practicality altogether. But what I'm saying is these are just little examples of, how the impressions of other people's beliefs can have an impact on you, especially when you love the people a lot, they've been there for you. They tend to have a stronger influence over your thinking, your beliefs. So it's important, obviously, as you are carving your own life out, okay, to have a strong awareness of how other people's beliefs, how other people's thoughts, how other people's sort of mental cognitive structure, how it blends into yours, and learning how to, you know, lovingly differentiate yourself from that and make your own way, shape your own beliefs, shape your own perspective. That's very important if you want to manifest the life of your dreams, obviously. So that would be another very strong attribute to develop, okay? Now, let me pause here before I go into number four, number five. Number five is especially important, but let me pause here for a moment to allow a word from a sponsor. I will be right back. All right, thanks for your patience. I am back. Now, let's go into number four. Number four, this is a can be a little tricky. It could even be a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Now it slipped in my mind, but it'll come back to me as we go along. But it could cause reactions in a lot of people. And I'm just going to put it out there and then I want to talk a little bit about it, okay? And it's basically saying, looking at life this way, seeing the self as responsible for your own life, what has happened in your life and what happens currently in your life. So this is basically moving from a victim mentality to a survivor mentality. And it's very, very important to think. Now, the reason that this can be so such a charged topic and it can be kind of controversial, that's the word I was looking for, controversial, is that you have individuals who have gone through very painful, difficult life situations, traumatic situations. And it's challenging for, I have heard of individuals feeling kind of offended at the idea that, I had this horrible thing happen to me. You're saying that that was my fault, that I'm responsible for that. And we have to be careful. We need to be careful when we talk about topics like this. I have addressed this in multiple podcast episodes and YouTube videos, really going for the jugular here on this topic of trauma, of manifesting, and of blame versus responsibility. I have a lot of content on that, so I don't want to go too deeply into that right here, but I realize it can be a very sensitive issue. So let me put it this way, and I'm gonna bring in some stuff that I've already talked about, like the pendulums, okay? So we have to understand that when tragedies happen, when trauma happens, when horrible things happen, I do not believe that we of ourselves or the victim in that situation is 100% responsible, meaning that they did not necessarily manifest that. It's not their fault, quote unquote, okay? They did not, quote unquote, attract that. I believe that those kinds of tragedies, those traumatic situations happen as a result of very like poisonous patterns of group manifestations. So it has to do with the you know, other people a lot of times who are not on a spiritual journey, who are sick, who are, you know, out to cause harm because of their unconsciousness. And those individuals come together, their beliefs, their perspectives come together with other people and begin to form these negative sort of group manifestations, these group patterns. Now, I do believe that if we are very strong practice, okay, then it is less likely that you will be affected or that you will come into contact with individuals who are, you know, vibrating on this kind of very low destructive level. I do believe that that is true, but it doesn't eliminate the possibility, okay? Because we are living in a world where there's a lot of very unconscious people. And I do not believe that our manifesting, our life, the way it's manifested, occurs in a vacuum, meaning we're not alone here, right? Like I said a little while ago with the pendulums, we are part of the way our life is shaped has to do with our family upbringing, our cultural beliefs, our religious beliefs. And anybody who says no, I just 100% disagree with that, because we are clearly influenced by that. And the lives that we have today are shaped in part to not just to our own thoughts. I mean, it is to our own thoughts, but those thoughts have been very much created by the influence of our upbringing, of our religious beliefs, of our culture, all that stuff. So that's why having awareness of the pendulums is so important. You know, going back to what was that number three, attribute number three that I just talked about. But it's also important to eventually, as I was saying here in number four, that in order to manifest the life of our dreams, we have to at some point take responsibility for our own beliefs, our own thoughts, no matter how they got created, right? Whether they were created through influence of others, through our upbringing, through our religion, through our culture. At some point, we need to take responsibility for it. Not to feel blame for what we've lived through, but because that's the only way to take some control, right? If you're not in control, then how can you manifest the life of your dreams? That's the conundrum there, is that the only way to shape the life of your dreams is to accept that you're 100% in control. That's important, okay? And we can be in that mindset that I'm responsible for my life, but going back to attribute number one, that flexibility, is that we can still let go of that idea if necessary when we come across situations that we feel are in large part manifestation of our exchange with another human being, or it has happened as a result of coming into contact with a very negative pendulum, okay, which can happen. But ultimately, we need to have the belief that we are responsible for the lives that we are creating, okay? Very, very important. Because if that belief is not there, then it can be very easy to fall into the belief that you have no ability to manifest the life of your dreams. Why? Because you're not in control. You're not responsible. So that's a tricky one. Like I said, it's tricky. It's a little controversial, sensitive. But I believe, again, going back to attribute number two, with it being generally positive, we have to also generally believe that we are the creator of our lives. Very important. And finally, attribute number five, which underlies all the other four attributes. And if you've been listening to me for a little while, I think you know what I'm going to say. Meditation. Meditation must, okay, be there if you ask me. Why? Because meditation makes all the other ones possible, right? And not only that, if you are finding that as I go through the other four, like for example, number two, generally positive. Oh, no, I'm not generally positive. I'm a worrier. I tend to always, you know, worry about things that are going to happen. I tend to have a habit of, you know, looking at things kind of negatively, pessimistically. Then, gosh, meditation is so important. in your case, because meditation is the fastest way to kind of deprogram, to break those kinds of mental habits. Especially, I want to go back here to number one, the mental cognitive flexibility. That is a direct byproduct of meditation. Meditation, what it does is that it puts a lot of space between your pure like consciousness and your habits of thinking. It allows you to see them much more clearly, where without a meditation practice, you're living according to those kind of habitual ways of thinking and you can't see them. You're lost in them. It's almost like, you know, the old saying, like if I have, you know, some dirt on my face, right? I can't see it until you tell me, right? Because I'm too close. I can't see it. The same thing happens when you don't have a meditation practice. You have no space between your actions, so to speak, or your perspective and the very thoughts and feelings that are creating those actions and that perspective. So what meditation does is it creates almost like it expands your consciousness. It makes it much bigger so that your thoughts and your feelings become a smaller part of your total consciousness. And by doing that, you are able to go in and you are able to change your beliefs. You develop some more flexibility. You can shift from having the habit of being more negative to being more positive. You will obviously get a lot more awareness and selective resistance to the influence of others, or those pendulums that I talked about. And you will also see more clearly how it is truly you that is shaping your moment-to-moment experience, your life, what you are manifesting. So meditation, so very important. Number five. These are the five attributes that I believe are really, really, really going to help you into consciously manifesting your life more to your liking. I hope that you are working on these five attributes, that you found this information helpful. I again want to encourage you to jump on over to YouTube, check out the Dreams Warp channel. I think you'll find a lot of great content on there. And stay tuned. Tomorrow is Sunday. We'll be doing our Zen stream on Sundays. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.